Judy, it's a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me. I'm honored.
I came across a five-part series you did for GLT last week that certainly struck a chord with me, just as someone that has had some dreadful rental situations. But the title of the series is Landlord versus Tenant. We mentioned it is a five-part series. Judy, what did you dive into in this series?
Well, it dealt with really low-income rental housing units and how many of these units are in extreme disrepair. And tenants have very little recourse. Sometimes they withhold their rent from the landlords, thinking that the landlord will repair their unit more quickly. And what happens, the landlord turns around and files for eviction and gives them 5 days. A five-day notice of eviction, and then the next thing they know, they're in court. And the law is really on the landlord's side in that case if the tenant withholds rent, even if it's for a good excuse, good reason.
Well, and some of the living conditions you describe in this piece is, I mean, it's pretty shocking. You describe one tenant from Normal, and she describes her living situation as all you could do was cry. I said, I can't bring my kids into this place. There was blood splatters on the wall. The stove was like years of grease caked on. I had to take a gum scraper, the kind painters use, and scrape the stove. You literally need a hazmat suit to go in. And you were able to go into some of these
right,
units.
That was the first one I visited. That was on South Linden Street in Normal. And it is a Section 8 federal housing. The tenant does receive some subsidy for the rent there. And the rent was not cheap. It was something like $750. And the first thing I noticed is a window missing in the storm door. Okay, so you walk up, first thing you notice, well, there's, you know, a broken door. And then you go inside, and very few of her windows actually fit the frames. And they were plexiglass windows. They were not glass windows. And, you know, there was water damage in the apartment from a leaky boiler, a faulty boiler. But the thing that really struck me was I went down to the basement where she has four children. One of her children sleeps, and a window there is actually screwed shut. So if there's a fire, the child can't go out. And, you know, there were other things. There was a leaky tub and water damage in the ceiling, things like that.
Well, and of course, you mentioned roaches as well in a lot of these apartments. So,
well, that was another one.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And, I mean, what did you learn from these? What were these tenants telling you as far as their experience? And you would think that, all right, these are pretty reasonable requests to ask of landlords to take care of this. What did you learn as far as that's concerned?
Well, something very sad, Sam. Most of the tenants said that they felt no one listened to them because they're low income. They earn very low incomes, and they are struggling financially. And so, in other words, people are ready to marginalize them, and they don't really have a voice. You know, they don't have a voice in court. They don't have a voice with their landlord when they complain. They can't afford to hire lawyers to help them. And so there was this sense of being trapped and feeling like nobody cared. And for me as a journalist, one of the things I want to do all the time is to give voice to people who feel voiceless, who feel marginalized. And I felt that in this series, people at least were able to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's, I mean, the words in the series are powerful. And, you know, I was trying to go through and get just bits and pieces to highlight, and I realized I was highlighting, like, entire stories just of terribly sad quotes. And of one of the residents in Bloomington, she said, I came from Chicago due to the fact that we had a fire there. A man was on our porch dead. People were breaking into the places. I came to Bloomington to change our life, and that's what I thought. And this is a woman that, you know, she's working at Burger King at a $9 an hour job. She's got a large family, and she thought, you know, here's a place for $700 a month. I can afford this. But at the point now, it's as you said, it's like she's trapped.
Couple of things. You notice that it's a $700 rent. That's
right.
Not cheap.
No.
Okay. So even though the folks living in them have low incomes, they're paying high rents.
Mm-hmm.
That woman's home really struck me because, you know, the first thing you do, you walk up, you know, the steps are all broken up. I leaned against a post holding up the front porch, and it began to jiggle. I mean, it was as if the whole thing could fall down if I leaned on it. Then you walk in. There was a floor-to-ceiling mold from a water leak right in the hallway. You walk up this dark hallway. She was on the second floor. It was a two-family unit on Center Street in Bloomington. You walk up the hall to her unit, and there's no light because, you know, the light switch doesn't work. You walk – the woman took me into her bathroom. The floor literally sank when you stepped on it. And, I mean, her children – the woman has six children. Her children bathe in there and shower in there. And then, you know, what was really stunning was the roach infestation. And she said she has to keep all of her food covered, you know, everything in the cupboards covered. And she sprays, but you really need a professional fumigator. And apparently she had talked to her landlord about getting professionals in there, and the landlord never did. So the woman began to withhold her rent, and of course she got an eviction notice. And she didn't have an attorney, so she agreed to move out if the landlord would forgive the 3 months' rent that she had withheld. So the landlord lost $750 times three, you know, $3,000 or so. But now this woman is calling shelters. This woman with six children is calling calling shelters in Bloomington and Normal to see if they can take her. Hmm. And again, I mean, you said she worked at Burger King. Now she works at Walmart, but she still earns $9 an hour.
Right, right. You would think that there's got to be some sort of recourse for these tenants, right? If a landlord is just not responding to requests, just making you live in squalor, there should be, recourse for that, right? Where do these people go?
Where do they go? Well, this woman, as I said, is calling a shelter, or she'll go to another low-income.
Well, I guess I should say as far as enforcement is concerned.
Enforcement. Well, you know, the law is gives tenants some rights. It says that the landlord-tenant code of Illinois says that a unit has to be habitable. Mm-hmm. But the catch-22 for a lot of tenants is that they withhold the rent, and then they can't argue in court that it's inhabitable because they're living there.
Right.
It's habitable as long as they're living there. So someplace that they can go for help is on Thursday mornings at the courthouse. Prairie Legal Services has some volunteers there, and Prairie Legal Services can give people advice. They just don't have the funding or the manpower to go to court with people to actually press the case in court, you know, file a suit or something. I should say Prairie Legal Services is the legal aid agency here for people with lower incomes. And so, but what they could do is ask Prairie Legal Services to hold their rent in escrow, or they could pay a portion of their rent.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes their case a little bit stronger. That's helpful.
And I know there are city inspectors. They look at these units every once in a while. But you kind of highlight the fact that there aren't a whole lot of them.
I'm glad you mentioned the building inspectors, because they are very, very good people. You know, by and large, I met them. They're very devoted to their work. But there's two of them for Normal and two of them for Bloomington, and there's 20,000 rental units. Okay? So that gives you an idea. Now, Bloomington, to its credit, had one inspector up until 2015, and then they hired a second one. And you know what happened?
What's that?
Inspections doubled, and also citing landlords for code violations doubled. Mm. But a problem with the inspectors is they have to balance if they, you know, really condemn a place, then that's one more low-income rental unit that's out of the market then. Mm. That's one less place for somebody to live. And there is a shortage. There is a shortage in Bloomington Normal of affordable housing, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they do is they try to work with the landlord. And to me, if I had to change one thing, if anybody would listen to me, I think that they could crack down a little bit more on the landlord. Mm-hmm. I mean, they give them a lot of chances to to get things repaired. But some landlords, just their names pop up over and over and over in the administrative court.
And that's what I wanted to ask because I made this point earlier that I'm not trying to throw all landlords under the bus. I know there are great landlords out there, but are the bulk of these offenses, of these, you know, thousands of citations we're seeing, do they come from a select group of landlords?
Yes, I would say so. And I think the inspectors, if you had them on, would agree that Tom Debreiner, who's the head of community development, who's also over the inspections department in Bloomington, mm-hmm. he calls them, there's a few high flyers, you know, that they mm-hmm. see continually in the administrative court. There's an administrative court that adjudicates housing code violations. And then, you know, if it gets really bad, it goes to the circuit court. But they mm-hmm. try to resolve this stuff in the administrative court. And yes, there are a few landlords that own quite a few lower income units, and they are what Tom Debreiner described mm-hmm. as high flyers.
Right. You've talked to some of these landlords. A few of them went to my surprise, they went on the record with you.
Right. I think
what are they telling you?
Three of the four that are mentioned, or four of the five that are mentioned in the series did want to be interviewed, and of course they have a different perspective.
Sure.
They see themselves as servicing the poor. One of the landlords who has so many housing code violations, as I said, the inspector stopped counting, the city stopped counting, called herself a champion of single moms.
Yeah, and I got that line here. I want to read it because this made my blood boil. She said, "My specialty is single mothers. A lot of these women are very young and have multiple children, and the men are in prison. The men are not coming up with any money for them, so they do come up with problems and have to rely on family and friends and coworkers to help them, that they are usually in the same boat." And as a reporter, I mean, you got to be objective, but how do you respond to something like that?
Well, you know, that particular landlord really believed that. Mm. I mean, really did. And so that is her belief. Mm. That is her belief. That is her belief that she is helping people. And, you know, perhaps that's true in a sense because, as I say, many people would be in a homeless shelter if her units were not there. I wish she was more Johnny on the spot in making repairs to her mm-hmm. units, and that they weren't roach infested, you know, or at least the one that I was in. Mm-hmm. Another one of her units was actually condemned by the city, but of Bloomington. But then the city gave her time to do the repairs. But the repairs are going to cost $17,000. We'll see if they get made.
Right.
And a lot of the landlords will say, you know, she said, for example, all of my money goes back into keeping these units repaired.
Right. Well, and she had mentioned also she's working a part-time job.
She is also working
right.
a minimum wage
right.
job
right.
As a cashier, and says that says it costs her $10,000 a month mm-hmm. just for maintenance costs.
Yeah. I guess we'll end the conversation on this. I know, as you said, I don't think there's just a very simple solution to cure this problem. But, you know, it's not just unique to Bloomington Normal. I mean, I've mentioned my awful living situation down south in Taylorville, and I'm constantly hearing of things on Facebook of people living in awful living conditions. But as far as Bloomington Normal is concerned, if you had a direct ear to the movers and shakers, what do you tell them to try to ease this problem of not only terrible living conditions, but very high living costs?
Well, I think city officials need to reach out to developers and say, we need affordable housing we need new quality affordable housing in Bloomington Normal, because it's not, you know, there's a lot of people. One thing that struck me, Sam, is folks that I interviewed, they're not on, you know, government aid for the most part. They right. work. They are the working poor. They're working people. So there's hundreds more like that, like the few that were in my series.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. We'll end it there. That again, Judy Valente, WGLT senior correspondent, coming up with a fantastic five-part series, Landlord versus Tenant. Judy, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for being interested in this topic.